Turning with me in your Bibles to Acts chapter 4, I should mention that I want to encourage you to pray for Josh and Rachel. They thought they were had the possibility of leading a church plant that has its own building and a small group of people, they decided not to go that direction, and so now he's going to probably have to start out from scratch, you might say, in a public building, and but I think it's a great time for them to be able to trust God to see some great miracles done. So you need to pray for them. Would have been much easier the other way, but I can see that the Lord could use us in a great way to do a great work for God in Wales. Acts chapter 4, my message tonight is called An Empowered People. An Empowered People. Acts chapter 4, verse 31, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul, neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own. But they had all things common, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. The Bible says, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. As you look at the Bible, you see that something very unique, very different about the people of God. And, you know, there's a huge difference between profession of religion and really knowing Jesus Christ. You know, there's a huge difference between intellectualism, knowing all the answers, being able to say the right things, and real Christianity. You know, there's a huge difference. There's a huge difference between going through the motions and having a personal relationship with God. You know, there's a huge difference between a little prayer that doesn't save you and a real conversion. There's a huge difference. You know, one of the big differences is power. Power. The people of God are an empowered people. They have a power and a strength that is beyond them. You know, I was thinking about, let's think about the Bible, and let's just think of some places in the Bible that talks about the people of God are an empowered people. You know, I was thinking of that Old Testament text, and there's many of them, but we thought I'd pick out one, Judges 15 and verse 14. And we're talking about Samson, and I can read the verse. But it says in Judges 15, verse 14, and when he came unto Lehi, the Philistine shouted against him, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and the cords that were upon his arms became as flax that was burnt with fire, and his bands loosed from off his hands. And he found a new jawbone of an ass, and put forth his hand, and took it, and slew 1,000 men therewith. You know, in the Old Testament, we find this phrase, the Spirit of God came upon them. We find this phrase, the Spirit of God came upon them. And they did mighty things for God. Here, in this case, the Spirit of God came upon Samson, and he took the jawbone of an ass, and he slew 1,000 Philistines, mighty warriors. Now, you know what? It was God that did it. Samson was just the instrument. But the Spirit of God empowered him. You know, I was thinking about that very thought from a theological standpoint. If you turn with me to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. I'll try not to take you all over tonight, but a great truth in the Bible. John chapter 14 and verse 17. And here is the Lord Jesus talking about the fact that when he ascends to heaven, he is going to send the Holy Spirit to live within the life, the body of a Christian. Isn't that marvelous? Think about it. When a person gets saved, the Holy Spirit of God comes to live within them. Can you imagine that? Wow! I just can't comprehend people who somehow have this unknown conversion experience. Unknown. And yet the Bible says when you get converted, the Holy Spirit comes to live within you. And that's not talking about some mystical, ethereal thing out there. It's talking about the third person of the Trinity. God himself comes to live within the body of a person that has been turned from their sin and trusted Jesus Christ. Now that's something big, isn't it? That's something big. And notice what Jesus said in John 14, verse 17. It says, even the Spirit of truth. Oh, let's look at verse 16. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, you know, the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit is the author of the Bible. The Bible, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. He never leads contrary to this book. He authored this book, and he will never lead anyone to do something contrary to this book. He's the Spirit of truth. And he says, the Spirit of truth which the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him, speaking to the disciples, for he dwelleth with you, and he shall be in you. Wow. Now, the Old Testament, Holy Spirit came upon individuals to accomplish the task that he had for them. And you know, some theologians, they kind of make this big deal like, well, you know, Holy Spirit, you know, in the Old Testament came upon you, but in the New Testament, he's dwelling in you. And so don't think about the Holy Spirit coming upon you and doing a mighty work. You know, I think you got it mixed up. If the Holy Spirit would come upon people in the Old Testament and do a mighty work, how much more so in the New Testament when he lives within you? Amen. The Spirit of God empowers the people of God. Now we read in our text today in Acts chapter 4 how they prayed for the power of the Holy Spirit and they spake the word of God with boldness. Now it was the context. They were threatened. They were threatened not to speak or to teach in the name of Jesus Christ. They were told by the religious authorities, don't you mention this name of Jesus Christ. And they were the authority. They had the power behind them. They could make their life miserable. But they weren't going to stop. They weren't going to stop. They weren't going to give up the Great Commission to give the gospel to every creature. But you know what? They knew they needed power. They knew they couldn't do it in their strength. The Bible says, and they prayed, and the Holy Spirit gave them boldness, and they spake the word of God with power. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. What about the Apostle Paul in his ministry? What about the Apostle Paul in his ministry? What did he say was the key of his ministry? 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 4. It says in the context, verse 1, and I, brethren, when I came unto you, I came not with excellency of speech or wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. Now here is Apostle Paul, trained under the feet of Gamaliel, one of the highest, highly educated people of society. And he says, you know, when I came to you, I didn't come in with these big words and all trying to impress you with excellency of speech. He said, you're not going to do something for God by trying to impress people by human means. He said, verse 2, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. And my speech, my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Here it is, the Apostle Paul. He recognized that the key of his life was the power of God. The Spirit of God empowering him. Now let's turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and see the testimony of the Apostle Paul as he takes the word of God to the church at Thessalonica. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 5. He's writing to this church. And, of course, we read about it in the book of Acts. There's great persecution that took place here as he preached the Bible. And verse 5, it says, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. As you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. Wow. Notice what it's saying. The Apostle Paul preached, and it came with much affliction. What does that mean? Well, he got beaten up. And the people knew that if they would believe this message of Jesus Christ, they were going to get persecuted. They knew they could be thrown in jail. Isn't it amazing how much different things are today? Isn't it amazing how much different things are today? Churches have rock music. Churches have preachers who dress like hippies. Churches advertise, live like the world, and you can have God at the same time. And the people flock to them. But you know, in the Bible, it's different. In the Bible, it was different. Despite whatever it would cost, people fled to Jesus Christ. And the difference was an empowered ministry. The power of the Spirit of God upon them. We have that message throughout the Bible. I think there's some important applications here. The number one thing every Christian needs is the power of the Holy Spirit in their life. The number one thing every church needs is the power of the Holy Spirit working in its midst. The number one thing that every Sunday school teacher needs is the power of the Spirit of God upon their ministry. The number one thing that every choir member needs is the power of the Spirit of God upon their life. The number one thing that every believer needs in our life is the power of the Holy Spirit upon their life. Now, I ask you a question. If that's the number one thing that you need, our church needs, is that the number one thing you seek after? I wonder, on Sunday morning, you're a Sunday school teacher. Do you sleep in as late as you can? Sleep in as late as you can. Get to church as late as you can. Stay up as late as you can on Saturday night, entertaining yourself. Or on Sunday morning, you say, you know what? I need the power of God upon my life. How dare you preach and teach a Sunday school class without begging for the power of God upon your life? How can you do that? How can we do that? As though that just by our talking, we are going to have an effect upon people. No. It's God that must do it. It's God that must do it. I wonder, Christian, how do you come to church on Sunday morning? How do you come to church on Sunday morning? Do you come to church with the absolute conviction that the most important thing that can take place today is for the Holy Spirit to be here in power? Do you even pray about it? Even think about it? You know, what is a church about? What is a church about? The church is about being the light of Jesus Christ in a dark world. That's what it's about. You know, in the Bible, when people joined a church, you know what the Bible says? It says, and they continued steadfastly in apostles' doctrine and in fellowship. You know what that word fellowship means? That word means partnership. When a person joins a church, they're saying, we are going to be, you know, obviously they're saved, have to be saved first. But when the New Testament church was established, they said, we're getting involved in this partnership. The partnership of getting the gospel to the ends of the world. They didn't even have jets in those days. They didn't have email. They didn't have text messaging. They didn't have FaceTime. And they said, we're going to get the gospel to the ends of the world. We're going to be a part of this. And the world was 99% pagan, heathen. Churches need to have the power of God. We need to be an empowered people. You know, I read a little, picked up a book while I was in Wales. And about many revivals that took place in Wales. Hopefully I can find it, what I was wanting to read. Probably won't be able to find it. I don't know why I didn't organize this better. But it's talking about Calvinistic Methodist Association. There were going to be 20,000 people there. There's going to be 20,000 people there hear the Word of God preached. And the historian said that there were, the crowd was filled with children, 8 years old and above, as well as adults. And as they heard the Word of God, they were given to rapt attention to the Word of God. And as Christ was preached, their eyes were full of tears as they thought of the Savior. You know what? That's real Christianity. Don't you long for real Christianity? Real Christianity. Not this dead stuff. Not this worldly stuff. Don't you long for the real thing? The people of God are an empowered people. That's the message of the Bible. Apostle Paul said, I have all this intellect, I have all this knowledge, I have all this ability, but I'm not going to use my ability and depend upon my ability. I'm going to preach the simple message of the gospel. And dependent upon the power of the Spirit of God. You know, this message of the power of the Holy Spirit is an encouraging message. As I was in Wales and in the land of revival, and I picked up this little book, and I can't pronounce the name of the city, the Bedgellert Revival. I'm sure it's wrong pronunciation. And I was reading about that, and I was encouraged. Because, you know, God can do something. God can do something. God can do something. God can do great things. He can do things that are far beyond our comprehension. But you know, we have to be convinced that we can't do it. But we also need to be convinced that God can do it. And we can be encouraged as we read the Bible and say, look at what God did. Here the Apostle Peter preaches, and in a hostile crowd, in some senses, 3,000 people come under conviction of their sin and they're saved. God does it. God is still alive. The God who formed this earth is still alive. The Creator of the heavens is still alive. Now, as I think about that, we need to be encouraged. Now, we need to know God. Now, one thing I sense is that people who never knew revival have a hard time really knowing God. As I read history, I find people who were saved in revival have a sense of knowing the power of God. And they know what God can do. They know that our God is a God of conviction. The Holy Spirit is the convictor. The Holy Spirit shows sinners their sin. The Holy Spirit shows sinners the judgment that is due them. He convinces them of that, and then he convinces them of the beauty of Christ and his mercy and his love. You know, God is a great God. As we, I just kind of want to put this together. As a Christian, are you looking for God's power in your life? Or are you living in a worldly dimension? Are you living the Christian life as a secularist? Are you living a Christian in a whole different world? And doesn't even enter your mind. The power of God. The work of the Holy Spirit. Now we should be conscious of that every single day. Every single day. We should be conscious of our need of the power of the Holy Spirit. Every day we should be thirsting and seeking and depending upon God to do something great in our life, to empower us, to lead us, to use us every day. It ought to be the focus of our soul all day long. You know what? Guess what? You think church would be different? If God's people, every day of the week, they were about what Christianity is about. Making sure their sins were confessed. Staying as far away from the world as possible. getting as close to God as possible, praying for the power of the Holy Spirit, praying for God to work in our life, taking out the gospel. And empowered people. You know it's exciting to be a Christian? Wow, it's exciting. Don't you love to hear the testimonies of those working at the university? I mean, it's exciting. It's exciting. Isn't it wonderful to hear the testimonies of these people working in the bus ministry? It's exciting. God's working. God's changing lives. But the very people that I'm talking about, I dare say, are continually aware of their need of God's power and the Holy Spirit to do the work. That's what it's all about. And empowered people. Now, this isn't the profound message tonight. It's just simple. Have you tasted the power of God? Have you tasted the power of God? Do you know what conviction is? Do you know what repentance is? You know, we were told in my class, we were witnessing. The Lord just did a marvelous work in bringing me in contact with six young people in Wales. I'll tell the whole story some other time. But I got kind of lost, but wasn't totally lost, but I was late for supper and I needed to get to Josh's house. So I asked these young people to give me directions how to get there, because it would take me a long time to figure out how to get there because I was lost, sort of. Anyway, they came to Josh's house, took me there, and I introduced them to him, and he began to witness to him. I'd been witnessing now to them for about 20 minutes. These young people were standing outside of his door. And as he talked to them about Jesus Christ, they're under conviction. One girl says, "That's it! I'm not going to smoke again." Pulls out her lighter out of her pocket and says, "Here, take it back. I don't want it anymore." And takes a cigarette out of her pocket and gives it to another friend. Says, "I'm not going to smoke this." And she says, "That's it. This is the last day I'm ever going to drink." Now, we didn't preach any of those things, but she's under deep conviction of her sin. One of the young people was homosexual. And I said to him afterwards, I said, what's God doing in your heart? He said, "I want to change. I want to change." Only God can do that. Only God can do that. But that's who the Holy Spirit is, isn't he? He's real. He's alive. Have you tasted God's power in your life? Do you know him? Do you really know him? Do you long to have his power on your life? Don't you long to see people genuinely converted? God can do it, and only God. But you know what? If you're not saved, you don't know what I'm talking about. You don't know what I'm talking about. And I'm talking to young people. You're here. You're telling people you're saved. But I question if some of you are saved. You don't act like you ever met the Holy Spirit. You don't know His power. You don't know His conviction. You don't know His holiness. As a church, as people, do we long to have the power of God? Isn't it amazing, the grace of God? I marvel at the grace of God. You say, oh, I can never have God's power on my life. That is absolutely not true. You know, you could leave here tonight as a believer. And you can leave here tonight and you can say, you know what? I want God's power on my life. And you can leave here tonight hungry for God's power. And you can leave here tonight not only hungry for God's power, but praying for God's power. And you can be expecting God's power on your life. Because God's power is real. Now, most of us don't need God's power because we're not attempting anything for God. But you know, if we'd put ourselves in a place where we need God's power, we'll find it as we depend upon Him. You know, why don't you come to Sunday school, to church on Wednesday night, praying that the power of God would fall down on this place so we can have a real prayer meeting. You know, when you get to your prayer group, what are you doing? You go joking around, goofing around. Are you there and say, hey, you know what? We're going to accomplish something for God tonight. We're going to accomplish something for God tonight in prayer. Is that how you pray? As you walk out of this place, we can be a people that are an empowered people. Because if you're saved, the Holy Spirit lives within your soul. And if you will give yourself to Him, to do His will, to be His messenger, to be a light for Him, to call upon Him to empower you, you can be different. And I say that because I don't know of anybody that is as shy as I am, as fearful as I am, as unconversational as I am. And yet, Holy Spirit makes a person different. And the Holy Spirit is our empowerer. The people of God. And empowered people. Is that true of your life? It can be. You know, one last illustration. I promise this is it. I was reading this book. And it was a good book. And you know, actually, as I was reading this book, I was discouraged. And I was also discouraged by the comment that someone made. Someone made a comment. And I can say what it was, but someone made a comment and it was really discouraging to me. And I said, oh, I'm going to read this book about revival for a few minutes. I opened that book and I read about, you know, a couple different preachers, and how the Spirit of God came upon them and empowered them, and there was real revival. And I got up off of my knees after reading this book. I says, you know what? God's still alive. God's still alive. People can still be saved. And I was encouraged to go out and try to find someone to talk to about Jesus Christ. Because I know that God, I was encouraged that God could empower me. God could lead me. God could work in people's hearts in a miraculous way. That God's still alive. Empowered people. That's what we need to be. That's what we can be. In one sense of the word, it's a prayer away to be an empowered Christian. Let's pray. Lord, thank you tonight that your Holy Spirit is alive, that he is well, that our Savior is the living Son of God, that the Creator of the universe is our God. Lord, help us to be encouraged that you are still able to work. You're still able to do great miracles, Lord, in lives and in our lives, if we'll give ourselves to you and depend upon you. And Lord, I pray that even in your grace that you'd help us to get the main point tonight. That we can be, as Christians, we can be dead. Because our heart has lost the sense that your power, your Holy Spirit, can work through us and do great things. And that you're still alive. And you're still in the saving business. And you still want souls to come to you. And you want to use your people. Lord, help us to hunger to be an empowered people. Usable in your sight. Trusting you to do great things. We can't do anything, Lord. We're weak. We're wicked. We're wimpy. But you're great. Lord, help us to believe. And to rely upon you. And see you work in Jesus' name.